the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. God calls us together as First Christian Reformed Church and Bethel Christian Reformed Church, part of God's wider church, to come and worship him. And as he does that, he also promises that he meets us here. Together we hear his words of greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to continue our worship time with some singing, so you may take your seats, and I'm going to invite Ben up to lead us.
us tonight. So Harold and Carol's great-granddaughter is going to have another surgery, probably to remove another chunk of intestines, and they really don't know for sure until they get in there. So we pray for her again. Anybody else? Yeah, I was. Oh, okay. Glenn?
Prayer for Sandy as she deals with the
poking
arm and then her giver patients.
How's she doing today?
Well, she lost her arm. She's crawling a little bit.
Okay. She is home, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sandy Greenfield fell this week and broke a couple bones in her shoulder, and she's bruised up pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Anybody else? Pat?
2 weeks ago, we prayed for Bernie. He was in the hospital again this last week. Keith and Becky are flying down there this week, and their plans are to bring Bernie and Bev home next week or the end of this week. That all goes well and
they
have a safe trip home.
That'll be good if they're able to get home, right?
Right.
Yeah. Bernie Mulder, her brother, Pat's brother Bernie, has brother-in-law, has cancer, and he's down in Florida yet for the winter. And so a couple of kids are flying down there, hopefully to get him home this week here in the coming days. So pray for safe travels and that he may get home. If not, anything else, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you another beautiful day that you've created for us, another day, another Sunday that we could come and gather and worship together as your family to bring our praise and worship to you, to hear your word, and just to be renewed for another week as we spread out and go into your world. We thank you for your creation that we can enjoy. We thank you for the reminder of Monday and Tuesday, the beautiful weather that we had, that spring is near. Lord, we thank you, pray for patience as these last few days is a reminder that winter is not yet gone. We pray for you'll be with the farmers as it's time to think about planting as they prepare the equipment and wait for the fields to dry out. We pray for weather that's conducive to that. And Lord, we pray for patience that in due time your fields will be ready for the seed. We think of the one men's Bible study coming up in a couple weeks. Lord, there's time for people to register for that. But we thank you for those that are organizing that as a bunch of men from this community gather and have an all-day Bible study and hear what the Lord has to say. Lord, maybe there may be an uprising of men who want to be leaders in this community and lead from your word, that there may be an impact on this community. We thank you for the youth group fun night that was held last night, and for those that attended, for those that donated, and for the money that was raised. We pray that you will be with them as they plan a retreat this summer, a spiritual retreat. Lord, we pray that planning goes well. We thank you for those leaders that lead that group and the work that they do. We pray that you'll continue to bless them. Thank you that the Randolph School Auction could have another successful fundraising last night. And those that were involved in organizing that, pray that you'll bless them, money's raised, and have an impact in Randolph, on that community, on those students, and on those parents involved there. We thank you for our armed forces, Lord, around the world, serving around the clock, protecting our borders, protecting some of our employees, and all around the world, places that they are serving, some places in harm's way. Lord, we pray that you'll give them peace in what they're doing. Thank you for their leadership, for their courage. Lord, we pray that you'll be with Sandy Greenfield. She had a fall this week, Lord, as you know. We thank you that she was not alone, and that there was help for her. Thank you that she can be at home now again, but we pray for speedy recovery. Be with Glenn as he tends to her needs at this time again. So, Lord, give her peace. May the medicine work to give her relief from pain. Be with Margaret Miedema, Lord, as she continues to look for answers to the struggles that she's having. And there's frustration that there's never seems to be the right answer. Lord, we pray that you'll give them peace, patience, and also lead them to the place where you have the answer for them. Pray that they may continue to look to you for strength. Be with Janet Verhaeghe as she begins a new treatment, Lord. We pray that this may relieve pain. Lord, we pray that you'll be with her daughters and her family, that they stand around her, by her side. It's a very difficult time, Lord. You know how to reach out to them. Only you can give her the peace that is beyond understanding. So give them the grace each and every day. Be with those who recently lost loved ones. And there have been many, Lord. And sometimes the pain lingers for many years. And it's a lonely time when you lose a spouse or even a child or a friend. Lord, we thank you for your promises that those who believe in you go to eternally to be in heaven with you, and that someday we will see them again. Fill our voids here on earth as they leave us. We pray that we, as those left behind, may continue to reach out to you and remember that you are the great comforter. Lord, as we enter this Holy Week, we especially think of Christ's last days on this earth and the incredible suffering that he went through. And we're reminded of the pain and agony that is unimaginable to us that he went through voluntarily for us because he loved us so much. Lord, we pray that we may appreciate that we may remember that, and thank you for that sacrifice, so that when our last days are here, we know that it's not the end, that we are going to heaven to be with you. Pray that you'll be with Bernie Mulder, and he suffers from cancer and is down in Florida. Lord, we pray that you'll be a couple of the kids as they head down there. Lord, they pray that he may be feeling well enough that they may get him back home here to be in his home, to be around family. Give them a successful journey. And be with Greenfield's great-granddaughter again, Lord. We prayed for her in the past, and Yet her struggles continue as she's going to face another surgery. Lord, we pray that you'll give the doctors wisdom and guidance as they operate on her again and help them to know what is the best course to take in that surgery. We thank you for our many blessings that we have. This country, Lord, in this cold weather, we've got shelter, warm homes, warm church, plenty of clothes, and the excitement of newness of spring is the just last Sunday we had a little warm shower and the grass instantly turns green. And we just look forward to seeing the leaves bud, the flowers bloom, as we see here and hear the birds singing in the mornings. We praise you for everything you've given to us. And thank you for sending your Son to save us from our sins. Be with Pastor Harv now as he brings another message from your word. Pray that it may light a fire in us as we go in this week, as it challenges us to be better Christians in the world that you've created for us. In thy name we pray, amen.
And it's our privilege now, we've spent some time singing after we opened in worship, time in prayer, and it's our privilege now to spend some time looking into God's Word, and so we will do that together. I want to note, as we do that, we're thinking about trust. That's kind of the theme of the day, and do that recognizing that we live in a beautiful world, a world of changing seasons, a world where the buds come out and we see them just develop. The grass turns green, the crops grow, the water flows in the rivers, and just an incredible amount of beauty. And that's here and throughout the world, that there are a variety of ways that we see that. It's also a world in which we recognize brokenness and hurt and dangers. And so it's a world in which we need to have trust as well. And God calls us in this world where things happen that we can't control to trust Him. And so we're going to think about, I guess I'd say, the result of that, how we trust and then what that turns into. We'll be looking at Psalm 16, and that's a psalm that I know we're not quite there in the church calendar yet, but we're going to ask in that psalm how we look at trust as people who believe in the resurrection. We're going to recognize too in that one of the that there's a similarity that we'll see from the Old Testament world to ours. There's a lot of differences, of course, from then to now, but we're going to look at one of the similarities in that they had temptation to worship other gods, and in their case it was pagan worship and lots of temptations to do that. We don't have temptations to worship in the same way, but we certainly have temptations to look to things other than the true God to trust. And so thinking of the focus of our trust. So we'll read Psalm 16, and then we will take it from there and hear what God says to us in that. So let's please stand for the reading of Scripture. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion, my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray while we're still standing. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your call to trust, and we thank you for the ways that you work in us when we do trust. We praise your name, and we pray that as we look into your word, that we will walk in step with your spirit this evening, and that all praise will go to you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. So the first part of the psalm has a lot to do with choosing. This David is listed as the writer, and this what may be, doesn't tell us this, but what could be almost a daily choice that he makes. And I want to qualify and recognize that as Reformed people, we recognize that we don't get credit for choosing God. He chooses us, and we recognize that he works first. At the same time, we need to remember that there is a cooperation with God's work. There is a sense in which we put ourselves in his workshop and we take in what he has given us and live in the life that he has given to us. And I think we see a lot of that here when we see the choosing that the writer here speaks of. He starts out, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." And there's this, he seems shaken, uncertain. Preserve me. Something's wrong. And we don't know right here, and we don't know all of what's on his mind, but we'll have better, as we go through the psalm, better indication of what he's afraid of. But we recognize at the beginning that there's this uncertainty, this fear. Then he says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord," which sounds repetitious. It's not in the original. Those are Lord and Lord in that phrase are two different words. The first one is in capital letters, and you may know that that means the proper name for God. That is Yahweh, the God who is. I say to Yahweh, you are my Lord, lowercase letters, which means you are my master. So he's saying, I say to God, the proper name for God, you are the one who is in control of my life and of the world. And I speak out the fact that you are in control. And he says, I have no good apart from you. You're the only one that from which I draw any good. Then he goes on, verse 3 is an interesting one. It says, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Now, apparently that's a pretty hard verse to translate, and so people go in two different ways. They go with how we interpret that. The first is probably more common, and that is that he is saying here that I trust in God, and I take encouragement from others who trust in God to grow in that trust. And so I find encouragement in the other saints. That's a possibility and probably the more common one. But given the difficulty in translation, there's another possibility, and that is that he's switching and saying, because he's just said, you are all, and then he goes and he says, talks about the saints in whom is all my delight. And he may there be referring to people who look to other people for strength rather than God, and so trusting in other people. And notice he goes on in the next verse to say that those who run after another god shall multiply their sorrows. Now, either way you interpret that, what he is saying in here is he is recognizing that God is the one that we are to go to, and only him, not others. And when we see others worshiping only God, we then take encouragement in that. And he goes on to recognize the the problems, the sorrows of those who worship other gods. And he makes it clear. He says, the sorrows of those who run after another god will multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. I mean, that's a pagan culture where people have this tendency to think we have to worship these other gods to get their favor. And he says, I will have nothing to do with that. I worship the true God and only the true God. Then he goes on in verse 5, and he starts to talk about a little bit stronger using the word choice. He says, the Lord is my chosen portion, my cup. And again, recognizing that God works first, but he is saying, I'm choosing God. And I wonder again, is this a daily choice? As we get up in the morning and ought to recognize that, yes, God is working in us, but that daily, I'm going to trust in God today. Then he goes on in the next verse to talk about possibly physical blessings. He says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And that may be he's speaking of the land of Israel and the what God has given them. Again, translation is a little tricky. It may just be he's talking about the pleasures that God gives, the joys that God gives. But he's recognizing that blessings come from God. The next verse he says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night my heart instructs me. Trusting God's counsel. And then in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. God is at the center. He said, again, God works first, but there's a choice being made here. I'm going to put God right at the center of my focus, and I will not be shaken. I'd like us to notice a movement that's happened here. How did we start out? Verse 1 says, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, I shall not be shaken. He goes from preserve me, I'm afraid, to I will not be shaken. There is a stabilizing that has happened. Through this thinking and praying and this movement of choosing that God is at the center of his focus, the ship has been stabilized. And he says, I will not be shaken. One person that I read, thinking this through, talked about, I get almost in fun a little bit, a study of horses. And he said, you know, even horses can figure out who to go to for help. And in this study, they set it up, and the horses were in a stall or in a pen, but anyhow, confined. And there was a bucket of carrots, and horses like carrots, and they were placed in so the horse could see them, but couldn't get at them. And so, you know, I'd like that carrot, but I can't get there. And then they studied what the horse did when a human would come, a caretaker would come near them. And the horses would, and then they, of course, they studied a horse that didn't have that as well, and to see what the difference was. And when the carrots were there, I mean, the horses would stand by the human. They would nudge them if they could. I mean, it was like the horses saying, hey, you know, there's carrots over there. Could you give me some? Because I know you can get at those carrots. So do something about this because I'd like a carrot. Can't think it through quite that well, but you know, they know where to go for help. Now, the point of that is not that we go to people for help, but that we know who to trust. And God says here clearly, I'm the one that you trust. And I can take you, God says, from preserve me to I will not be shaken. Through the years, I have thought about this. I remember and was thinking back this week to when we started in pastoral ministry, there was a little bit of time where we had accepted a call to our first church, and we hadn't moved there yet. So we were living in Michigan, and the first church was out on Vancouver Island. And so we were just getting things ready. We had been there to interview and had received the call, accepted it, and just waiting and getting ready. Well, I had a dream one night that I was preaching in the church, you know, as we're getting ready to go there. And I was about halfway through the sermon, and the whole congregation just got up and left. And I thought, what do I do? Do I quick say amen and pretend I was finished anyway? Or do I just holler, hey, wait a minute, just hold, hang with me, guys. You know, it'll be all, I'll be finished soon. What do you do? And I woke up just thinking, I hope that never happens. I mean, like, my goodness. But, you know, going through ministry, and, you know, all of our stories are different, but it has been a reality for me going through ministry that I had a lot of weeks where I had to go from preserve me to I will not be shaken, and I wasn't sure I was going to get there. I mean, it was like, what do I say this week, and is this going to work out, and the challenges of ministry. So this is not an easy movement. It can be really scary and hard because life's challenges can be that way. But I yet believe that when we trust in God, when we do that daily focusing and the kind of thinking and praying that David is doing here, we can move from preserve me to I will not be shaken because of the power of God. We can be stabilized and changed. Now, that's the first eight verses, but we have three more to go. And the next three verses look at, and they kind of shift, and they move to the joy that comes from this. And so there's joy not only here and now, but he goes well beyond that. He says, therefore my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, my flesh also dwells secure. I mean, once he got to this point of I will not be shaken, he just takes off. And my heart, my whole being, I'm secure. There's joy. And then he goes to that beautiful verse, verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, and you will not let your Holy One see corruption. Which gives us a pretty good idea of one of, at least part of what David was afraid of at the beginning. You wonder, was he wondering at the beginning, I love God, I love being in his presence, and I don't want anything to take that away from me. I don't want death to take that away from me. Maybe he was ill. I mean, who knows what was going on in his life. But it seems that there was this sense that death will come. It comes to all of us. And I don't want that to take me away from God's presence. And he said, somehow, and David couldn't have known all the details of that then, but he said, I'm going to trust that even in death, God will preserve me and will not let his Holy One see decay. And that's likely what he was thinking. I mean, we don't know all of what God, how God was speaking to him, but many of you probably know that those words are quoted again in the New Testament. They're quoted in Acts chapter 2 when Peter, at the time of Pentecost, and Peter was speaking this powerful message to at the time of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, and then he quotes those words that we read from this psalm, I saw the Lord always before me, he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell secure in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. David was trusting that God would hold on to him. And he was prophetic that that would happen in Jesus. Jesus is the one who made that true. who gave us forgiveness and peace with God, so that we can know that God did not let his son Jesus go to corruption in the grave. And because Jesus defeated death and had victory, as followers of him, we can follow that same path, and we can trust that we will have that victory and that we will be with him forever. What we hear here is we can have joy in trusting God, a freedom and a joy now. But now is just a very small part of the whole picture. We can have that joy now, and a joy that we can trust we will experience forever, for eternity. Because God has said he will not let us go to corruption in the grave. He defeated that with Jesus and has given us eternal life when we trust in him. Joys now and eternal joys. And so we can live in trust in the joy of that trust now and forever, and in the freedom and the joy that that gives us. One of the experiences that often comes to mind when I think of that, and that call to trust God now and for eternity and the freedom that it gives, is there was a time when our family, we were on vacation and we were near San Diego, and we came upon a Bible camp named Mount Hermon, and it was connected to Billy Graham, and so it was open in terms of the activities and stuff. There wasn't a big thing going on then, so we could just kind of be around there and look around, and we could do some of the activities that they had. Well, one of the activities was that there was an obstacle course, I guess you'd call it. It was up in the trees, and it was big, high California trees, and kind of on a little bit of a slope, and then you could go, and you'd walk on cables or little platforms, just ways that you would go from tree to tree, and they were very creative ways, way up in the air. And of course, you were harnessed in up there. And I looked at that and thought, that looks like fun. So I determined that I was going to do that, and who else from the family wants to do it? And I think only our oldest son, probably because there was a little height requirement, you had to be so tall, and he was the one who could do it. So my son and I did that. And I don't know if you have to take this ladder up to the first platform. I don't remember if he went first or I did. And there was other people around too. But I remember getting up to that platform, and then they harness you in. You're actually double harnessed in because, if you have to go around, if you have to move the harness ever, you want to make sure that you're never unharnessed. So you've got two things. But I remember standing on that first platform, harnessed in, looking down and thinking, this cannot be the same platform I was looking up at. You ever had that? Because, you're down on the ground, you look up and you think, well, that's up there a ways, but not so far. And you get up and then you think, this is 10 times higher than what it was from down there. That's a long way down. But there's a lineup of people. You can't chicken out. I mean, you're committed, right? So start walking across these cables, and I'm tentative, and I did not want to try out the harness. I mean, I believed it would work, but I didn't want to try it. And so I never fell. I mean, I just was careful and as cautious as I could, going from thing to thing. And I remember my son up there, and he didn't care. I don't know if he fell or not. I can't remember. But he wouldn't have cared if he did. He practically ran across things and back and forth and just having a good time. Now, we both made it through the course, but I know he had a lot more fun than I did and a lot more freedom. I just didn't get to the point of really trusting the harness. And I think of that when I think of walking in the joys of trusting God. There is a freedom in saying, I don't mean recklessness, irresponsibility, or anything like that, but just stepping out and trusting that God's going to work. Thinking of the harness, trusting God that way. I mean, God will be with me. If things don't go perfectly, it's okay. And just live in that freedom of trust, the freedom and the joy of trust now, and knowing that that goes on forever. And when I hear those words, my heart is glad, my whole being rejoices, my flesh dwells secure. And he's following up on that. He's gone from preserve me to I will not be shaken. I get that sense of the joy and the freedom that we can have when we trust. Living out the final words of verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Scary things in life can't take that away. Life doesn't take that away. Circumstances don't take that away. And one of the well-known things in the Christian world is the story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he was taken by the Nazis and imprisoned and even waiting for his execution. And as the story goes, he had peace even then. I mean, that's about as bad as a circumstance can get. And yet God gave him that stability and that peace. We can have that joy no matter what the circumstances. The Westminster Confession, I really appreciated. It asks the question, what is the chief and highest end of man? And the answer is this. Man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy him forever. And that is that the wonderful joy of trust. And so I call us tonight, as God says in his word, to enjoy trusting God. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your powerful work. We thank you for the way that you spoke has come, and we thank you that we have eternal joy and security in him now. We pray that you help us to take joy in that. We pray that you help us to follow you in the security and the joy, trusting you. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we stand and sing together.
Praise the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks, recount his ways. What tongue can
words of the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer one together. I'll ask the question and ask that we respond together with the answer. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. And we go out in that comfort. Together we hear these words of blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And all God's people said, Amen.